The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, the only guarantee in life, they say, is that one day you're going to die. Now, that said, all of us seem determined to procrastinate as best we can. Even adrenaline junkies and daredevils, well, they take precautions to avoid an untimely demise. But sometimes, well, sometimes things just don't go your way. On yesterday's show, our very own Mike Hawk brought us the story of a man who bled out in his own home after he stabbed himself while trying to separate two frozen hamburger patties with a knife.
Yeah.
That is a hell of a way to go. Then there's a guy named Ivan McGuire. Now, he's an experienced skydiver, over 800 jumps. Yeah, he met his end after he forgot his parachute and jumped out of the plane. You can connect the dots on how that one ended. And 2 years ago, you might remember a bungee jumper. She misunderstood her instructor and jumped off the bridge before her harness and bungee were actually attached to her. That proved to be, problematic. Well, that and gravity. Now, sadly, for these people, things did not work out well for them. But on the other end of the spectrum, there are those people who were probably pretty confident they were going to die. But with a little luck, they avoided it. Yesterday, we brought up the woman in Thailand that spent, about 2 hours on her kitchen floor in the loving embrace of a 15-foot python that was trying to squeeze the life out of her. But it turns out, good news, repeated blows to the head with a crowbar, that will get a python to let go. That was the wildlife officials. That was their big plan. Closer to home in Wisconsin, a man is grateful that his son is a good shot. You see, a 200-pound black bear pounced on top of dad and was clawing and biting at his everything until his son shot the bear in what they say the vitals. That kid, he gonna have a real good Christmas. But today, we're not talking about death. We're talking about almost dead, or can't believe I'm not dead. And that's what today's question is all about. Because if you have an answer, you survive. Positive Friday. So today, our question is, how did you almost die? Positive Friday.
206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And be sure to send those emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Oh, but tell us, away we go. Welcome to season 19, episode number 4,184. What a large and in charge program we have for you today on this oh-so-positive Friday, guaranteed future repeat. As we're, believe it or not, getting ready for fall, winding down the year that is 2024. Ted versus the FCC. We were up late last night. Ted, coming up with rhymes. Real. Not sure how your record is for this year.
Don't know.
But I feel like you're about 50-50. It seems like that you...
I think I'm a little over 500.
Okay. Well, you've been on a pretty hot streak the last couple weeks, I think.
Yeah. So we were trying our asses off last night to come up with some tongue twisters that maybe you could get, but lo and behold, we get in today, and what should happen? Not even a listener-submitted email request.
Not a single one.
Veggie Dog walked down the hallway and hand-delivered his own Ted versus the FCC.
Veggie Dog did?
Yes.
He wasn't even with us last night. I wonder how late he stayed up doing it solo, man.
And I thought I was friends with him.
He said it came to him in a dream. And he brought in the Ted versus the FCC. And it has to do with Boris the Bull, who is shifty, so to speak.
Ah, okay.
Yes, Boris the Bull is a sitter, too. He likes to sit, he likes to shift.
Okay.
So Boris the Bull is the subject of Ted versus the FCC.
Ah, Boris.
Yes. Also, some updated locations for the weekend for Men's Room IPA from Black Raven Brewing. If you are looking for the beer, hopefully we'll get you close to home, and you can go pick up a sixer and enjoy. And today on The Question, we're going to talk about how you almost died. And we'll start with a story. A father-son hunting trip. It went awry in Wisconsin earlier this month when a black bear went on the attack. And the 12-year-old is now being hailed as a hero for saving his dad.
Miles, I don't want to interrupt the story. We
slow
need
down.
To revisit.
Slow down, big cat.
Bad choice Friday.
Oh, bad choice Friday. Do I really want to hit that?
Do you?
We'll drink and toast the weekend and bad choice Friday. Okay, sorry.
You know it's bad choice Friday.
It's too much show.
Too much.
Well,
now trim it down.
Yeah. Okay, so here we are, Bad Choice Friday. This weekend, we happen to start fall on a Sunday.
That is correct.
Yeah, so fall starts. This is still summer. Look outside. Sun is shining, but this is still summertime until Sunday. But we will celebrate the wet, cold, dark fall season on this Bad Choice Friday with the mamas and the papas. People from California really hate everywhere else, don't they?
Seems that way.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, look, if it's winter time, if it's winter time, I think everybody wants to be in Southern California.
Your place sucks,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
I gotta get back home. Mamas and the Papas taking on California Dreamin', and they take on the band known as Earth, Wind, and Fire. Is the 21st of September.
I remember.
Earth, Wind, and Fire taking on the Mamas and the Papas on a Bad Choice Friday. Vote now if you follow us on Twitter at Men's Room Live. Earth, Wind, and Fire coming up right after we drink a toast with a shot. Don't even vote. I
mean, don't even vote.
Yeah, yeah.
You never know.
After you vote this week, you'll never have to vote again. On to the question, how did you almost die? We start again with this story. As a father-son hunting trip went awry in Wisconsin earlier this month when a black bear went on the attack. And the 12-year-old is now being hailed as a hero.
By his dad.
For saving his dad, yeah. 43-year-old Ryan Bierman. He was near the family hunting cabin in the thick western Wisconsin woods. On September 6th with son
Owen. Go Badgers.
Owen. That's about 90 miles, I guess, northeast of Minneapolis. When a 200-pound bear they'd spotted earlier, and which Owen had already shot and wounded, reemerged and charged at him from about 6 feet away.
I can understand that.
He was in the stance like a cat about to pounce. Next thing I know, he's on top of me. The bear was fighting for its life. I'm fighting for mine, he adds. That's when Owen scrambled with his hunting rifle, firing a shot from his hip that struck the Bruin's vitals. I was flat on my back, could feel the bullet going through the bear, according to the boy's dad. He estimated the entire attack lasted under a minute. Owen was a hero. He shot that bear and killed it on top of me. A neighbor rushed Bierman and his son to the hospital. AP notes that Bierman was bitten by the bear on the arm, leg, and forehead. Also had to get nearly two dozen stitches to put back in place a piece of skin. They got ripped off his cheek. A conservation officer with the Natural Resources Department said the hunt was legal. How could you say that's illegal? Officials say the bear attacks are rare in the
question.
Area.
Say it's not bear hunting season, all right? Mm-hmm. And a bear jumps on top of you, and it is actively mauling you, and I shoot the bear. Tell me you're not going to give me grief. Like, tell me, well, you know, you shot a bear, it's not bear season. Like, I get that. It was killing my friend. Like, yep, sorry, man, we got to fine you. I mean, would they fine you for that? The fact that he points
out. I guess they have the possibility of being able to do it. If they bring it up, why else would you bring it up? No,
that's
crap.
What I mean. Like, dude, the bear, yeah. It's one. If you just shoot the bear, hey. And it's not bear season, I get it. But if it's actively attacking my father, yes, yeah. I'd like to think
hey, look,
I would shoot it.
If it's a guy who's all hopped up on PCP or meth, and he is attacking and biting my dad, I don't care if it's human season or not.
Yeah, you're shooting.
If I got a rifle, I'm shooting his ass. So if they tell me it's not human season, all right, well, that's fine.
Sorry.
Hey, he's trying to kill my dad. I don't care what the thing is.
Right.
Trying to kill your dad.
But the fact that they brought it up, like, what? Okay. Right, we get it. It was killing his
bald brother. Eagle comes what? Down, all right? He's absolutely tearing the dude apart. You think he's going to die. He takes both of his eyeballs out. The whole deal, man. He started pecking, eat his face off. You shoot the bald eagle. Sorry.
Right.
Sorry it's not bald eagle.
I think
season.
It's only because they were already hunting.
Ah, okay.
That they added
that makes
it
sense.
In.
All right.
Okay. Right? Because if you were already on a hunting trip, you could just be like, I don't know, the bear attacked me, so I shot it.
Well, he at least has evidence by they had to reattach, I want to say, part of his face back.
Yeah. Also, look.
And then I'm guessing, too, since it is hunting season, mm-hmm. he gets to keep it.
Wouldn't you want to keep that one?
100%.
I am this thing died on top of me.
Were they hunting? Were they? I mean, he had shot at the bear and wounded it earlier, so obviously
they're bear
they were bear hunting.
Okay, yeah. So that's why they added that in there.
That's got to be the case. Also, the bear attacked him outside of his own cabin, which in my world is private property. I'm not saying that you're not allowed to take a rifle and shoot out your bathroom window at a deer in the backyard, but I know people who've done it.
I'm pretty sure that's illegal, though.
I'm pretty sure it is, too. But I'm just saying, I know people who've, on their own property, have decided not even to walk outside.
I would argue that the bear probably not interested in your property laws.
Open the slider, bang.
Because I think the bear's like, you built a cabin on my property. Just clear this up for you. Yes. You understand. Are you in the woods or are we in the city? You're in the woods, the bear's like, cool. You get, yeah. That's for you humans. Mm. I don't care.
200-pound bear, though. Oh, we stay in the great outdoors, and we go to Yellowstone National Park. Where a New Hampshire woman suffered burns on her leg after hiking off trail and falling into scalding water in a thermal area near the Old Faithful Geyser. The 60-year-old woman from Windsor, New Hampshire, who should have known better, along with her husband, who should have known better, and their dog that does not, were walking off of the designated trail near the Mallard Lake Trailhead Monday afternoon. You are not supposed to do that. There are multiple signs that tell you, do not get off the trail. She then broke through a thin crust over the water and suffered second and third degree burns to her lower leg, according to park officials. She is incredibly fortunate she did not fall into the hot spring. Mm-hmm. That would be the end of the story. Her husband and the dog were not injured. The woman, whose name was not released, was flown to an Eastern Idaho Regional Medical Center for treatment. Park visitors, by the way, are reminded to stay on the boardwalks and trails in the hypothermal areas and exercise extreme caution, as all 500 signs around the area state. The ground in those areas is fragile and thin. There is scalding water just below the surface. Pets are allowed in limited developed areas in Yellowstone Park, but are even prohibited on these boardwalks, hiking trails in the backcountry, and in the thermal areas. So they didn't follow the rules on that either. The incident is under investigation. This is the first known thermal injury in Yellowstone in 2024. The park had recorded 3.5 million visitors through August of this year, so obviously there's going to be a couple bad apples.
What are they investigating?
They were not on the trail. She fell through the thin crust and went into the hot spring.
That's correct. That's exactly what happened.
What is the mystery here?
There's nothing else to investigate.
Right. They wandered off of the trail to the place you said don't go because it's dangerous. They found out why you posted the signs. She went in. She burned herself. She's in the hospital. Like, investigation closed, man.
Here's the thing. There's plenty of things in Yellowstone National Park that can kill you. Hot springs have injured and killed more people than any other natural feature. At least 22 people have died of hot spring-related injuries around the 3,500-square-mile national park since 1890. According to park officials. So more than being mauled by a bear, a cat attack, if you will, a cougar attack, whatever the deal is, falling off of a ridge or a ledge, all those things do not equate to the thermal geysers, which have killed more people than anyone else.
Well, and there was that one, like, what, a month ago that just kind of went off. But, like, people were on the trails. They just didn't know it was going to go off.
Yeah.
And so, like, no when those people get hurt, it's like you feel bad.
Yep.
These people going off, there's signs.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And we do have one where, well, it didn't end up like it should have. A hungry man, they say, died after he accidentally stabbed himself while trying to separate two frozen burgers with a knife. Barry Griffiths, who was 57, was killed in the tragedy with a kitchen knife wound to his stomach. He was trying to part the frozen hard burgers. Basically, think about this. Okay, the guy had two hamburgers frozen together.
Yeah.
He basically had them at stomach level, holding them together against his body while he took the knife as if you were to try to stab yourself in the stomach.
Right.
So he was pushing the knife in the direction and holding them against his stomach as he attempted to separate the two frozen patties. Unfortunately, he lived alone, and when the knife went into his stomach, lay dead for several days before being discovered in a trail of blood around his kitchen and bedroom. They were baffled by the death initially, then worked out that the burger meal was the cause of the tragedy. The bottom drawer of the freezer had been left open and pulled forward in a position to access food. On the work surface in the kitchen adjacent to the fridge were two uncooked burgers, a knife, and a tea towel. The wound to the abdomen would have been approximately the height of the work surface. My hypothesis at the stage was Mr. Griffiths was attempting to separate the frozen burgers using a knife. He was found in his flat, and a post-mortem examination revealed he died from a self-inflicted stab wound. His blood-stained body was found in July last year after concerns were raised that he hadn't been seen for more than a week. He was described as a very private man, found on his bed, fully clothed, clothed with blood on his swollen stomach. His phone, wallet, computer remained in place with no sign of any disturbance or foul play. Statements house to house who checked on Mr. Griffith's finances and digital devices were made to rule out any kind of third party involvement. Someone tried to kill him for money. Did he have a situation going on at work?
Is a third party at that point? And wouldn't that just be the other party? Like, if it's a homicide, like, I walk up and shoot you, like, as a third party. Like, I was just that guy.
It's also noted that he had limited use of one arm following a stroke.
Ah, okay.
So he was not able maybe to, and it was a kitchen height, so he might have had the burgers up on the kitchen, counter height.
Right.
Was using the knife to try to push in.
You can't really use your other arm. Right.
All right, that makes a little more sense if he can't use his other arm.
Yeah, that part I did not know. But still, man, that is a stupid way to go. But I do feel like that should be like a CSI plot. You know, the beginning of the show, there's the body. It's been called in. Mm-hmm. There's a trail of blood. He's obviously been stabbed. There's the murder weapon. You know, by the end of the show, you realize he was just trying to eat some hamburgers.
Ted, you're a buyer, a connoisseur of the frozen hamburger patties.
Sure.
Is there not a piece of wax paper square like there is in between cheese, in between every single...
But if they're frozen, it doesn't matter. That's the thing. I've had that before. But
it doesn't matter.
They're still...
Okay.
It doesn't matter, and it also depends, frankly, on the brand.
Yeah, that would go a long way.
I mean, you could buy really affordable frozen hamburger patties.
Really affordable.
You could buy a big tube of hamburger meat.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like 70-30, but they do exist in the high.
But Thrill's right. When they're frozen together, it's still just as impossible. I don't know. Like, I've done this. But I always just sit it on the counter and put the butter knife through.
Yeah,
but I always, use butter, knife.
Yes, butter knife.
Our question, how did you almost die? Positive Friday, 206-803-ROCK.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Our question, how did you almost die? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Cheyenne. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Gentlemen.
Hola.
So, oddly enough, how I almost died is... From the minute I was born, I got cerebral palsy, and what that involved is having a cord wrapped around my neck, and then it killed some brain cells, and I almost wasn't here. But
is that why you talk so slowly?
No, that's just me.
Damn.
So wait, now let me get this straight. So you had cerebral palsy, and the cord was wrapped around your neck at birth?
No, that's what caused it. Was the cord wrapped around? Yeah. And might I add, Miles, that I fared better than Sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
Attaboy.
Wow. Yeah, but you know what? Hey, Sunshine could be around the microwave without drooling. You know what I mean?
Last I heard, Satan was having a chicken leg-like party with her leg. So
Cheyenne, run this by me now. So cerebral palsy... Is it a genetic thing or specifically caused by something that goes wrong in the womb like that?
Usually an injury at birth is what happens.
Okay.
Do they know that right away?
No, it's usually something that shows up over time.
So what are the warning signs? So, like, because my daughter was born and the cord was wrapped around her neck, right? Same thing. As far as I know, she does not have cerebral palsy. She does block a toilet, however. I don't know if that's related. But at what age can they diagnose?
Mine, I think, was diagnosed probably around 4 or 5, something like that.
All right, so you went home with your parents. They weren't freaking out when you were born. It wasn't like some traumatic thing. It was just something that was gradually diagnosed over time.
Not as far as the CP, but, I mean, they thought they were going to lose me, like, you know, during the birth.
Okay, well, yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
And then what exactly is cerebral palsy? What exactly is being affected?
Well, I mean, it's different for every person. For me, it was the area that one might call the trunk, you know, that the muscles that help you balance. Because those brain cells died, they never got the signals from those muscles, never got the signals from the brain to strengthen.
Oh, man.
So,
yeah. Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I never knew. I mean...
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Our question, how did you almost die? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Cheyenne. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Gentlemen.
Hola.
So, oddly enough, how I almost died is from the minute I was born, I... got cerebral palsy, and what that involved is having a cord wrapped around my neck, and then it killed some brain cells, and I almost wasn't here. But
is that why you talk so slowly?
No, that's just me.
Okay.
Damn.
So wait, now let me get this straight. So you had cerebral palsy, and the cord was wrapped around your neck at birth.
No, that's what caused it. Was the cord wrapped around? Yeah. And might I add, Miles, that I fared better than Sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
Attaboy.
Wow. Yeah, but you know what? Hey, Sunshine could be around the microwave without drooling. You know what I mean?
Last I heard, Satan was having a chicken leg-like party with her leg. So
Cheyenne, run this by me now. So cerebral palsy... Is it a genetic thing or specifically caused by something that goes wrong in the womb like that?
Usually an injury at birth is what happens.
Okay.
Do they know that right away?
No, it's usually something that shows up over time.
So what are the warning signs? So, like, because my daughter was born and the cord was wrapped around her neck, right? Same thing. As far as I know, she does not have cerebral palsy. She does block a toilet, however. I don't know if that's related. But at what age can they diagnose?
Mine, I think, was diagnosed probably around 4 or 5, something like that.
All right, so you went home with your parents. They weren't freaking out when you were born. It wasn't like some traumatic thing. It was just something that was gradually diagnosed over time.
Not as far as the CP, but, I mean, they thought they were going to lose me, like, you know, during the birth.
Okay, well, yeah, gotcha.
Okay. And then what exactly is cerebral palsy? What exactly is being affected?
Well, I mean, it's different for every person. For me, it was the area that one might call the trunk, you know, that the muscles that help you balance. Because those brain cells died, they never got the signals from those muscles, never got the signals from the brain to strengthen.
Oh, man.
So, huh. Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I never knew. I mean, I've heard about it my entire life. I just never knew. No. So is that generally, so with cerebral palsy, is it that wherever the brain cells have died, whatever they connect to in your body, that part of your body is just never going to get the signals?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's theorized that it could be fixed with stem cell, you know, replacement, okay. But that's very theoretical. Yeah,
do you keep up on that stuff as far as, you know, what they're working on as far as studies? And I mean, is this something that progressively can get worse over time for you? Or is it just one damaged area?
It's one damaged area. You do get things like, you know, you might, just because of there's extra stress on your body because it takes like maybe 3 to 4 times more energy to move as it does someone else. So you might get like early arthritis, that kind of stuff.
Okay. All right. So not as bad as the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, shut up.
All right. Now learn what CP is.
How did you almost die? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
We'll find out.
Hola, bitcholas.
Hola.
Oh, my gosh. Long time listener. Huge fan. I love you.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad we found a question for you to call, you know, like almost dying.
Yeah.
I did, actually, after all these years. So my really good death story, and it was an actual death. I'm telling this on behalf of my husband, Chris Harris. Okay.
All right.
So he's going 90 miles an hour. He's roaring past our house because we broke up, and he's going to go have his own life. And he veers off, hits a guardrail at 90, and flies into a field in a Jeep.
Flies into what now?
A field.
Okay.
Right through the guardrail. We live upriver, like Lyman, Rockport, concrete. We're up the river.
Okay.
Windy roads. Don't drink and drive. Ends up in the field with a flashlight in his face. Mr. Harris, how you doing tonight? He's been ejected from the car. Passes back out. Wakes up in the ER. They're debating if they're going to move this man because he's dead. He's already died once. Are they going to get the chopper and take him to Harborview? That was the big question. You can hear it in the background. They, in fact, did.
Now, are you involved? Are you involved in any of this conversation? Or are you finding all of this out?
Yeah, did you run over when you saw this happen?
I actually got a call as soon as it happened. And he basically was in Harborview. His grandmother called me. So they picked him up. They took him to Harborview. He died in the helicopter. Resuscitated him. Got him to Harborview. Died again on the table. He ended up with a exploded aorta, so he has a heart stent. He has a dislocated shoulder, an exploded knee, a broken neck, 4 broken ribs, spine, bolts, plates.
How long ago did this happen?
2 years ago.
Is he okay now?
He is a beast, and he's wonderful, and tries to get through it, and still is working.
Wonderful. So you guys patched up your differences, I'm guessing.
Oh, we definitely patched.
Is that what got you guys to patch up your differences?
In other words, if that didn't happen, would you still be together?
Probably not, because like I told him, you can never escape me. You're going to die out in the real world, so you have to stay with me, baby.
Oh, wow.
That sounds healthy.
That's exactly what my wife said to me, and exactly. I said, you know what? I can't escape you. This feels healthy. Let's get married.
Did he ever mention...
Exactly. Thank you. Exactly.
Did he mention to you anything about, since he apparently passed on twice during this whole ordeal, did he remember anything from the incident, like dreaming or...
I have asked him because I'm so into the other side and the veil and what happened to you, man. Come on.
Chris, if you're patient, you'll find out.
Yeah.
He's right here, yeah. He swears it was only blackness. And he does not remember anything. Okay. He doesn't remember. He remembers looking down and seeing that it was 90 miles an hour. And then the next thing he remembers, that he was ejected from the car. And the sheriff, our local sheriff up here, had a flashlight. Mr. Harris, you okay tonight? And he was laying in the field. And Chris said, just leave me here.
Okay. Did he know? Did the sheriff know your husband? Or did he check his ID? Okay, so he knew who he was.
No, my husband's well known up here. So yeah.
So in other words, he has talked to the police before this.
Oh, he's very familiar with our local.
Where do you guys live?
We are in Skagit County.
Okay.
Up towards like Concrete Marble Mount.
Oh yeah, I know him, Chris.
If you don't mind me,
the legend of Route 2.
If you don't mind me asking, how does he know all the officers? I'm assuming he was not an intern.
This man has lived here since he was about 9 years old, and he has been on their radar since he was 16 and got his license.
Been on their radar. All right. That's comforting.
Yeah, I'm going to stay right here. See, if I'm on the radar with the local authorities,
I move.
I'm sorry to say goodbye to this lovely area, but I need to move on. Even if it's just Everett, you know.
Just the next place over,
something like Dukes of Hazzard style. Once I cross the line, hopefully I'll be fine.
Yeah, like where I'm at right now. If I'm on the Seattle PD, then I'm going to move to 145th or North. I'm shoreline now, guys. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about me.
When I got in trouble with the cops, it was funny because they were like, I don't know, we'll pick a random name. Johnson. They were like, Mr. Smith, we know Mr. Johnson. It's like, yeah, that doesn't matter.
Right.
But we know him already. Well, could go home. I'm like, no.
When I was getting out of jail, that's the one thing that kind of blew my mind, right? I'm getting out of jail and they handcuff you to another inmate. You walk down and you see whatever that guy, what's the name? He's not a judge. He's
magistrate?
Magistrate, right. So they just kind of sign you out. So the guy's pulling up our info and he looks at mine.
So are both of you guys being released at the same time?
If you're going to get released. You're going to find out.
With another inmate.
Right. You're going there to find out if you're going to get released. Okay, gotcha. But I'm cuffed. And so the guy I'm with does not get released. But when we walk in there, the guy's like, Mr. Hill. And he pulls up whatever crap he's looking at. He's like, all right, you know, get out of here. The other dude, he knew him by name.
Yeah.
So like when we walked in, he's like, Mr. Hill and Jeff, you're back. Swear to God, I'm just like, really, man? Like, this is the magistrate, and they know you by name.
Right? I mean, that jail on North Avenue, Baltimore, was horrible. Yeah. But I mean, if you've ever seen like The Wire, like Thrill's not kidding. Like, it was shocking to me how many of those guys would just say stuff like, "Yeah, whatever. I could use a couple days off from the wife." They just would go in and out all the time.
And there's a difference when someone knows you, like a teacher might say, Mr. Montgomery, right? There's a certain way. When they greet you by your first name, like, I know you really, really well. So when the magistrate's like, Miles, you know, I'm just like, Jesus Christ, man. What have you done that this guy knows you by your first name?
And you got to vote for the magistrate. So he could say, hey, man, I voted for you.
I don't know if it would have worked with this guy. I don't know what he did, but he was not leaving that day.
How did you almost die? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Okay, so first time caller, but this is a really cool story, I promise. It didn't happen to me, but it happened to a good friend of mine. And I'm just going to call him Bill because he would be really mad if I told this story.
Because his real name is William.
His real name is William. No, Bill is an actual certified genius, like a prodigy child.
Okay.
He has that thing where like he just retains knowledge and, he'll read a book and he can almost recite it from memory. But, point is he was living in New York with his significant other at the time and she was, asleep. It's middle of the night. When a drunk person barged into their apartment thinking it was his apartment, and the person was like a, a PTSD, veteran, okay, if you will. And he sees Bill with, you know, girlfriend thinking that it's his girlfriend and just pulls out a knife and just slices his throat, Bill's throat.
Good God, man.
Yeah, and
you said like, this is a cool story.
It gets cool. Trust me, it's not cool for Bill. But
everyone laughs, yeah. laughs. I love it. Okay. Favorite Friday night story to tell.
God. Yeah, but so Bill, thinking quick, actually understands to basically not panic when you've got like a severe wound, and he removes his shirt and literally ties it around his neck to close the wound. And like lays flat on the ground and like props his feet up while girlfriend is, you know, calling 911. The drunken guy has bailed out entirely. And they tell him, you know, the paramedics arrive and they're like, you should have been dead. Like he had his like jugular slice. He should have, by all accounts, been dead. He had been on the ground for about 2 minutes, but he had just remained absolutely calm and just like, I don't know if he purposely attempted to like slow his heart rate, but like all of his like nerd knowledge of like, oh, this is like hospital stuff that I've studied. I know how to tie proper, you know, I guess
a neck tourniquet throat.
On myself.
Yeah. A throat tourniquet.
Yeah, with the t-shirt, no less.
Did they? So I'm assuming they found the guy that that did this.
Oh yeah, like he pressed charges. Obviously, you know, this went down this crazy rabbit hole. Like the worst case of mistaken identity, and now Bill has like a really wicked scar like across his throat, and it's like it's a great conversation starter. He says,
"What is the guy still living down the hall?"
That it is.
But you said he'd also be upset if you told the story, but he doesn't mind bringing it up if you ask.
Did the guy go to jail who attacked him?
What do you think?
Oh, absolutely.
He did. Okay. All right. I didn't know if he was in a mental state and didn't know where he was.
Ah, okay.
You know, sometimes.
Like, yeah, they'll probably put you in jail when you slice someone's throat open. Haven't done it myself. Oh, yeah. It's just a feeling
I
have.
Yeah. Okay.
Damn, man.
That's crazy.
What does Bill do for a living?
I believe he's a teacher of sorts right now. Last time I checked, he was obviously taking like college courses. And this was out in, like, New York. So when he explained, it's like, oh, my apartment got broken into. And I'm like, yeah, no, that tracks. So, he's studying a lot.
I'm just trying to think what I would do if I'm a certified genius. You know, what is the job you would want to have? Because I feel like you get bored real easy. You know, whatever anyone tells you, you're going to retain, whether it's interesting or not.
You know what?
Like,
I would be a lobbyist and buy stocks.
Actually, you know what, man? That's a good call. You will enrich yourself.
Just make the money real quick. Just basically, just follow what the senators and the House members are buying.
Right. That is definitely the
first
thing.
Because you know why you're lobbying about certain things. Maybe you don't have to trade in that area. But sure. Once you notice, and there's websites that show you every single day when they report what they bought and what they sold. And I follow them every day.
Oh, yeah.
And I just look and see what people are dumping and what people are buying. Okay, and they're all senators, and they're all on these committees, and they all knew something. But if you're a lobbyist, you know more before that.
Right, because you're the one explaining to them.
Because you know who are on those committees.
Right.
And so when they start dumping stuff, you probably should start dumping stuff, too. It's not just buying. It's selling.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like you kind of already know the game, though. You wouldn't have to be a certified genius to do it.
But if you're a lobbyist, you're just more on the inside. So yeah, the idea is make as much money as you can quick, right? And retire early and then brag about how smart you are.
Yeah. How did you almost die? 206-803-ROCK.
I guess if I'm a certified genius, though, I want to do something super interesting.
That's what I mean. Like I don't even know.
Aerospace.
Well, I would do whatever I wanted once I made the money to be able to do it.
Right.
So basically, that's the idea. I'd use my brain.
Right, but I mean, in theory, you could be a lobbyist right now.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why I'm like, if I'm certified.
Like, I'm a certified genius, man.
I know a lobbyist, man. He is, he's often not happy.
What, just dealing with the...
Just dealing with, it's politics and business. So, yeah. Both of those sides are oftentimes crap.
Sure.
So, you're dealing with one crap organization, which is people trying to make money for the stockholders and the people who are up top and not paying their employees, or it's the idiots that put them in the position that they are. So when you're dealing with two groups of idiots at times, it's just very frustrating to get everybody on the same page.
Yeah, I knew a guy that was a senator for a while. I would not say what state he was representing, but I had met him in Maryland, but he moved to his home state eventually. He just said he wanted to be a senator, and credit to him, within 3 years, man, he was doing that. Anyway,
He was going to D.C. for whatever the hell it is that they do, and he swings through Baltimore, and I got to ride around in his limo with this guy. And again, I know him on a personal level, but he's now a senator. But we're smoking weed in the back of his limo, and at this time, not only was weed not legal, but like any state, you know, it was up for referendum 8,000 times, and I'm like, you voted against weed, man. We used to smoke weed together anyway, but I'm like, you're still smoking weed. And he goes, yeah, but he goes, if I vote in favor of legalization right now at that time, this is probably early-ish 90s, he's like, it'd be political suicide.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, man, there's a lot of things like that. And he's just telling me some of the back channel stuff. Like, yeah, that guy you saw him on the news saying, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da, does not believe that crap at all. Does not believe it, but he wants to get the votes because this is a...
Well, we talked about it for years, but look how... If you look at the time frame of when the giant American beer companies get bought up by Europeans or South American brewing, AB as you know it,
yeah.
Then all of a sudden a lot of legislation goes through to make weed legal.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because they were always against it. Like, look, I like both, but if I'm smoking weed, you're just not going to generally not drink as much.
Yep. True. Absolutely.
How did you almost die? 206-803-ROCK.
What's up? It's your boy, the Ted Smith from the Men's Room. And did you know I have a podcast? Well, I do. The Podcast. New episodes uploaded every Wednesday on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.